Peter chapter 2, and in your Scofield reference Bibles, that's page 1312. Page 1312. Of course, way back toward the back of the Bible, you'll find 1 Peter pretty close to the book of Revelation. We'll be reading verses 6 through 9. We'll read these verses responsively, with the text verse being the ninth verse. And so would you stand. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of this passage. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. May we pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Father, this service. Thank you that we have this church. Thank you that we have a preacher, a man of God. Now you've given us ears to hear. Help us indeed to hear what you would say to us even this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I ask you to follow me as I speak to you on the subject, the real tragedy of a shipwrecked life. The real tragedy of a shipwrecked life. The scripture I'm using is this one. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now that word peculiar could be also translated a uniquely possessed people. It does not mean that we as a people, not does not only mean that we as a people are unique as a group, but it means that we as individuals, each is unique himself. I'm sure that most of you know that my favorite politician is not Jesse Jackson. But I do like what he says to these little black boys and girls. He goes to college, to schools, and takes his little children, and he has them chanting, I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. And by the way, every one of them is somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. He'll have them chanting that. Now, what they're chanting, and they're chanting other things too, what they're saying is, nobody like me. There's nobody like me. I belong to a race that is a peculiar people, a race of peculiar people, a race of people, each person being unique and peculiar in himself to fulfill a particular purpose that God has called him to fulfill. Before I pray, I want you to listen carefully to one little word, and then I'll pray and speak. We all are disappointed, appalled, and shocked when we hear of a life that is shipwrecked. And as pastor of a church this size, I never live 7 days without coming in direct contact with numbers of lives that are shipwrecked. And we look at those lives and we're so grieved because of the shipwrecked life. But this morning, I want to put on God's glasses. And I'd like for us to look at a shipwrecked life through the eyes of Jehovah God. I think this morning your eyes will be enlightened as you hear, if you do hear, what is preached. our Heavenly Father. Here we are again as pastor and people, waiting for the message that I believe you want these people to hear this morning. I pray you'd help us to hear it. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church today. Amen. Would you focus your attention this way for just a few moments, please? The person, and I want you to listen to the first few sentences, word by word, very carefully. The person who only sees the ruin of humanity has never seen the ruin of humanity. Let me say that again. The person who only sees, or sees only, the ruin of humanity has never seen the ruin of humanity. This statement, the man who only sees the tragedy of sin has never seen the tragedy of sin. Did you hear me? Wake up on the front down here, fellas. If you're going to sleep, go back in the back. I don't want you sleeping, or folks will watch your head nodding and infect the whole service. I said, the man who only sees the tragedy of sin. Are you listening? The man who only sees the tragedy of sin has never seen the tragedy of sin. This statement. The one who only sees what sin does has never seen what sin does. The one who only sees what sin does has never seen what sin does. But if behind that scarred, bruised, and marred life we can see the potential image of God, then and only then do we know the real tragedy of sin. As we compare what he could have been with what he is, the tragedy of sin and of a shipwrecked life is not the tragedy or the shipwrecked life. The tragedy of a life that's shipwrecked is not what the shipwrecked person has become, but it's what he might have become, are you listening, that he did not become. The bad thing about sin is not what it does to you, but what it prevents you from doing. The bad thing about sin, or being in sin, is not what you are, but what you could have been. The bad thing about sin is not what you have done that is wrong, but what you cannot do now that is right. The tragedy of the sinner is not what he is, but what he was meant to be, that he will not become. Are you listening to me now? I want you to listen to me. The tragedy of the sinner is not what he is, but what he was meant to be, that he'll not become. You see, when God looks down, he only sees the good you were meant to do going undone. We look at a shipwrecked life. We look at the life that's shipwrecked. We look at the sin. We look at the mess that's there. But that's not the worst thing about a shipwrecked life. As God looks at a shipwrecked life, he does not see the mess that's there, the quagmire of sin. God sees behind the scarred face a face that could have been, a life that might have been. And the tragic thing, my precious person, if you sink in the ocean of a sinking ship, if your life is wrecked by the sinking of a ship of your life, the tragic thing is not what you become. The tragic thing is what you will not become. You see, you were made to serve him in a way that nobody else was ever made to serve him. Now get that for me. You were made to serve him in a way that nobody else was ever made to serve him. Now, if you do not serve him, there is a way that he needs to be served and deserves to be served, where he'll never be served, because nobody can serve him like you were made to serve him. There are no two people alike. All of us are different. And God made it thus. God made it so that there was something that Dr. Lee Robertson's coming here tomorrow night and to speak at our college and Tuesday morning. And good night when I see him and am with him. I marvel at his greatness. But there's something that the little bus kid, the last little bus kid that unloaded this morning, one of our buses, can do for God that Lee Robertson cannot do. There's something the last little snotty-nosed bus kid and ruddy-faced bus kid that got off the bus this morning can do for God that his Sunday could not do, and Dwight Moody could not do, and that John Rice could not do, and Lee Robertson could not do. And I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, the tragedy about a shipwreck life is that something that God needed done for his glory will not be done, for nobody else can do it like the person could do it for whom God made the task, and for whom God made to do the task. You see, if you end up on Skid Row, the tragedy God will see is that you're not doing what he made you to do. God won't look down and say, what a tragedy. That fellow is in a rescue mission. He's on Skid Row. He's come to the end of his rope. What a tragedy. Oh, no. No, that's not the great tragedy for God. The great tragedy for God is not where he is, but God looks where he was meant to be. God looks where what he was made to be. God sees what he was made to do. Now, you and I, we look at the life and say, what a pity. God looks at the potential and says, what a pity. We look at what man has become and say, what a shame. And God looks at what man was made to do and says, what a shame. We look at the negative and say, how bad. And God looks at the absence of the positive and says, how bad. And the tragedy of a shipwrecked life, as far as God is concerned, is not the quagmire of sin, but the potential. Here's a man made in the image of Almighty God. He was made to do something nobody else can do. He was made for a task which will now go undone. And God doesn't look at the present sloppy condition of the shipwreck. God looks at the work that will not be done that he created that man to do. You were made to praise him in a way that nobody else was made to praise him. There's one little niche of praise. Man, as I've said before, belongs to a great orchestra. And each of us has his own little instrument of praise. And nobody can praise God exactly as I can praise God. Nobody can offer to him the glory and honor that I can offer to him and that you can offer. We are a peculiar people. We are a group of peculiar people. And a group of people who are different and unique, and each has his own little niche of service and each has his own little niche of praise. So as God looks down and sees a shipwrecked life, God does not primarily see the awful condition and destruction of that life, but God sees a place in his great orchestra which will be empty. And God sees a place of praise that will never be filled. And God sees something that man could do or that woman could do for him that nobody else can ever do. You're meant to love him as nobody else can love him. Nobody can love Jesus exactly like I can. You may love him more than I do, but you can't love him exactly as I do. My love for him is unique. Nobody has love for him exactly like mine. And by the way, he has love for nobody else exactly as he has love for me. And nobody can love him exactly as you can love him. And that means when God looks down, God sees a unique people, a group of peculiar people, each unique to himself. And God sees us. And God looks down. Now, hear me now, because after a while I'm going to hang you on the gallows I'm building right now. Hear me now. God looks down and sees a life that is shipwrecked. And God does not look at the wrecked ship. God looks at the shore to which the ship was taking its goods. Now listen, here's a ship on the sea. And that ship is wrecked at sea. And it sinks to the bottom of the sea. And the bad thing about that is not that the ship is at the bottom of the sea. The bad thing about that is the ship will never carry goods anymore. The ship was made to carry goods from one nation to the other. And that ship cannot do it. And
look, as far as...
Let me get down to what I'm trying to say here. We, hear me now, we are horrified at deep sin. But we're not horrified as God is. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me now for one sentence. If you don't hear a thing I've said. When God looks at you, are you listening to me now? Are you listening to me? Look at me now. When God looks at you, if you are not doing what you're made to do, I don't care if you're not doing a thing wrong, God sees you as much shipwrecked as the person on Skid Row. Listen, God did not make you not to do something. God made you to do something. And God looks at the do-nothing crowd this morning. You say, we look at life. Oh, how terrible. Did you hear about so-and-so? And it is. It's right. It is tragic. But it's not tragic primarily because of what he's done. It's tragic because of what he cannot do. And God looks down and sees you are doing nothing in the same shape as a fellow who's doing nothing because of shipwreck. A ship that never carries any cargo is no more value than a ship that could carry cargo that is sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And today, you look in horror and disdain and sometimes with sharp criticism, which is always wrong. It's never wrong to criticize. Never wrong to kick somebody who's down. Never. And brother, I will not talk to anybody about shipwrecked lives except the person who has the shipwrecked life who comes from heaven. I won't do it. I won't discuss it. That's not a part of my vocabulary. But I want to tell you this. God Almighty, we look and say, what a tragedy. How pitiful. And we scorn and criticize. And I'm not preaching about that, but that's not what God sees. God looks down and sees, that person is not usable for me now. And you Pharisees who sit here this morning in this service and never win a soul, and never have a bus route, and never bring a person down the aisle, and never build a Sunday school class, all you do is nothing. God sees you as much a tragedy as a fellow at shipwreck. A life in deep sin is no more tragic to God than a moral life not serving. In some ways, good life not serving is more tragic because it could be usable. Now, a shipwrecked life cannot be usable to its fullest. But a person whose life is not shipwrecked, you've not tasted the dregs of sin. You know, I'd like to get every Christian in the whole world together just one time and preach a sermon to them. And I'd like to preach to something along this line. You were not sent in this world to sit here and not do stuff. You were sent in this world to do something. And the tragedy about doing that which you should not do is only a tragedy because it prevents you of doing that which you should do. And if you are not doing that which you should do, I'm talking about you folks that sit on your blessed assurance and fill up about 22 inches of lumber on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and yet as far as God's concerned, you're doing nothing for God. I'm saying as far as God's concerned, you are as big a tragedy as the Skid Row bum this morning. Because God did not put you here not to drink. And God did not put you here. God never created one person to sit on this earth not to smoke. And God never put one person to sit on this earth not to commit adultery. And God never put one person to sit on this earth not to gamble. God put us on the earth to fulfill His purpose for our lives. And each of us is unique. Each has his own purpose, his own service, his own praise, his own love for God. And the sin that we commit is only bad as far as God's concerned in that it prevents us from doing what God made us to do. But if you're not doing what God made you to do, you're as tragic as God's sight as if you're doing something bad that kept you from it. Look, last summer. When I was a little boy, 2 years ago last summer, I flew into the San Francisco airport. I go once a year to Lucerne, California. I rent a car. I drive up to Lucerne, California, about 3 hours drive, 3.5 hours drive. I always, for the last six, 7 years, I always work on a book. That's my, I plan my books, and then on that trip, I almost always dictate a good portion of a book. So when I went down to the Hertz place, I said, I want to rent a car. They said, we don't have any. I sent to the Avis place. I said, I want to rent a car. They said, we don't have any. You have a reservation? I said, no, I didn't make a reservation. We don't have any. I went to the National Car Rental place, a little cubbyhole there, and I said, I want to rent a car. They said, we don't have any. I went to Budget Car Rental. Don't have any. I said, does anybody have a car to rent? And this lady said, nobody here. But she said, there's a place a few miles from here. I believe you might get a car. I'll call. So she called south of San Francisco Airport a few miles, and she said, do you have a car? And they said, yes, we do. I got a cab, went down this place to get me a car. Now, wait a minute. I drove up, and they were just hauling in a car that had been in a wreck, one of their cars. I mean, the front was mashed in, the back was mashed in, the sides were mashed in. It was in bad shape. Somebody must have been killed in that wreck. I walked in and kiddingly said, you got the car for me just in time for my trip. She thought it was funny. And it was that old wrecked car. Thank you for your response. hope you can do it again sometime. Don't think you will. But anyway, I kidded her and in my usual tremendous humor. Unappreciated and unrealized by lesser intelligence people. But she laughed and said, that's not your car. She said, yours is right beside it. A nice little car there. So I signed up, and she gave me the keys. I got in the car, and it wouldn't start. And I tried. Now, no. It was in park. I know what you're thinking about. I know what you're thinking about. It was in park. But it wouldn't start. Something was wrong with the ignition. And I walked back, hear me, I walked back in there, and I said to her, I may as well take the one that's wrecked. Because this car, that is a good car, that won't start, hasn't got me an inch farther or closer to Lucerne than the wrecked car would. Did you hear me? That's what God is saying here. You are unique. Now we wrap our fair circumflectors around us, and we look down with condemnation. But listen, if you are not doing what God made you to do, you have no right to criticize shipwrecked life. Because you're no better than the ship that's wrecked. And if you're doing what God's called you to do, you're too busy to criticize shipwrecked life. Now what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is this. I'm not trying to shoot at poor shipwrecked lives. My job is trying to salvage all I can out of every life that's shipwrecked. But I'm trying to tell you today that the shipwreck is the reason that the shipwreck is a tragedy is because the cargo cannot get to the shore where it's supposed to arrive. And if your ship is sitting there, listen, a car that's wrecked is just as good to you to get to your destination as a car that's out of gas. And a powerless, useless life that is built on thou shalt not this, and you know my standards, and thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not this, is as much a tragedy in the sight of Almighty God because it is not doing the thing it was made to do. When God looks at the shipwreck, God does not see the wreck. He sees the shore without the cargo and the trip that cannot be taken. So while you and I look at each other and sigh because of their life, God is looking at those of us who live clean lives but do nothing for Him, and God sighs the same way we sigh over a shipwreck. If you could only see yourself as God sees you. There are folks this morning in this room that are respectable people. Nobody ever has said, what a shame about them. Nobody ever has said, did you hear about so-and-so? Nobody's ever said that. You respect the host. And God looks at you and says, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Well, you say, I haven't done anything wrong. Leave off the word wrong and you'll give your biography. I haven't done anything. That's your biography. And God looks down and God, we look at somebody we look at a man maybe who's stumbled into a rescue mission with his life wrecked and ruined and shipwrecked all of his life and the scars of sin.
and the mars of sin all over his face. And we look at him and say, oh, my soul, isn't that awful? Look what he's done. But God looks at that same fella and says, isn't that awful? Look what he hasn't done that he could have done. But God looks the same way to you who are doing nothing but do not have not gone in deep sin. God looks that same way at you. Now, you know how you feel when you hear a story about somebody whose life has been shipwrecked, and you know, no, I don't believe it. Could it be? Oh, my soul, no! Oh, how terrible! Did you hear? And that's exactly the way God looks at you moral people who are not doing what he made you to do. I said a while ago, God did not make us to not be something. God made us to be something. God never created anybody to walk the face of this earth not doing things. You cannot drink, not smoke. You can be clean and pure and not curse and not dip and not chew and not lie. But I can take you out here this afternoon and show you hundreds of fence posts that do the same thing. We got a dog home. Doesn't dip. He doesn't chew. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. Clean as a hound's tooth. I'll tell you what he could do. He could take the place of hundreds of people in this room as far as God's work is concerned. And by the way, you can sing better than most of you can sing. So all over this building, respectable tragedies. Did you hear that? I said all over this building are respectable tragedies. We look and see one picture, God sees two. We look to where he has fallen, and God looks to where to from where he's fallen. There's only one like me. There'll be another. There's only one person can do what God has made me to do. There's only one person can praise him exactly as I can praise him. There's only one person who can love him exactly as I can love him. I wish this morning I could sit beside everybody in this room, reach out and give you a warm handshake. I wish I could sit beside every person in this room who's respectable. You pay your debts. You're honest. You're clean. You're decent. I wish I could sit beside you and say to you as you sit there looking so... The object of praise. Little children, parents, look at little children and say, oh, we should grow up and be like him or grow up and be like her. Object of praise. Considered an ideal citizen. I wish I could shake hands with many of you and tell you how miserable God sees you and what a wretch you are in the sight of God. You think for a minute at the life that you know that is the most shipwrecked in your lifetime. You think of that person back home somewhere that has disappointed you and you've heard all kinds. You think about it for a minute. God sees you the same way if you're not doing what he made you to do. The shipwreck, that's not the problem. The problem is the cargo. It won't get there. And God today looks down and says to you, you were made in the image of God. I do this often. And where I preach, I'll step out to the side and I'll say, look at me, and I'll turn around like that. I'll say, did you notice that? And I'll step out to the side over here and I'll say, look at me, and I'll turn around like that. And I'll say, did you notice that? And the folks wonder, what in the world? Yes, I notice a bald spot in the back of your head, also the one on the top of your head, and the one on the front of your head. I noticed that. What do you mean? And I said, you just saw the only one like it who's ever lived. You see that thumb right there? There's never been another made exactly like it. There's not a single print ever been on the face of this earth exactly like that thumbprint. Did you know of all the snowflakes that have fallen in the history of mankind, no two of those snowflakes have ever been alike? And no two grains of sand on the beach have ever been exactly alike, and no two blades of grass have ever been exactly alike, and no two creatures of God have ever been exactly alike. And a person who is made in the image of God was made to do something that nobody else can do. And if you're you're not doing it, that's the shipwreck. That's the tragedy. That's the blight. That's the pity. If you're not doing it. And a person who's fallen to the depths of sin and whose life is blighted, and we look at it and say, oh, my soul, what a tragedy. How awful, how awful, how awful. That's the same way God looks at hundreds of you this morning in this room who just got through saying that. Because in the sight of God, the tragedy is not what you've done, but what you can't do because of what you've done. And the tragedy is not because of the bad that you've done or the depths which you've sunk. The tragedy is because of the heights that God made you to ascend and to soar. I want to be all that God intended me to be. I want to do all that God intended me to do. I want to walk that path that is unique to me and do those things unique to me and serve my God as nobody else can serve Him and love Him as nobody else can love Him and praise Him as nobody else can praise Him. But just because I have never been in a tavern drunk or in a bawdy house does not mean that God does not look at me and say, pity, 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 pity. For the tragedy is not in what you've done. When you sink to the depths, the tragedy is what you cannot do. Our Heavenly Father,